Okay, gentlemen, I think maybe we will wait for another minute to begin until some other people log on. Again, I just apologize, or I don't apologize, for not being able to stay here yesterday. One of my nieces got engaged, and my sister felt that like it's really important for me to be at this engagement party. So, distanced, of course, like keeping all of the halachos, and just like timing couldn't work out. So those of you who want to blame me for missing here yesterday, I guess it was somewhat my fault, but not entirely. We'll say it like that.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. that's like the official answer to these types of things. Okay. Gentlemen, let us begin studying Torah today. The Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, going over to Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. Right, the Gemara shifts from the conversation about when are you allowed to leave food on the open fire before Shabbos, and now the conversation is, let's say you did it. Right? Let's say you left food on the open fire before Shabbos. So then what is the halacha? And this issue is addressed by the Gemara. The Gemara says, Bo minei Reb Chiya bar Abba, Lamazan and Beis, bottom line. They ask Reb Chiya bar Abba a question, Shokach kedera gabe kira ubishla b'shabes mahu. If you forget a pot on the range top and it's cooked over Shabbos, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Ishtik v'lo amar lei v'lo midi. He doesn't say anything. L'machar, but the next day, l'machar silnafak darish lehu. He goes out and he explains, he analyzes a source. Now, the source over here that he's analyzing is not 1,000,000% clear what that source is, because there are both a Mishnah in the second parak of Trumos that says it, and the Tosefta over here in the third parak of Shabbos that says the same basic idea. Rashi, no.
Yeah, I got to go. Yeah, what?
Rashi over here comments that what we are dealing with is the, Rashi comments that we are dealing with the Mishnah, right? That's Rashi's comment. Hamavashal b'Shabbos, Rashi writes Mishnahi, which is actually interesting, because if you look in the Mishnah, there is no dispute between the mayor and Reb Yehuda that is mentioned at all. In the source in the Mishnah there, in the second parak of Trumos, the Mishnah just says, Hamavashal b'Shabbos, b'shogi ge'ochel, b'mezud lo ye'ochel. If one cooks on Shabbos, right? Cooking in the sense of full-fledged real cooking. Take a pot, put it on the fire. You actually cook on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says there's a difference between shogeg and mezid. If you did it accidentally, you're allowed to eat it. You did it on purpose, you're not allowed to eat it. In the Tosefta, there is a dispute between Reb Meir and Rabbi Yehuda that comes up in this Gemara later on. Rashi is noting that he is quoting the Mishnah version rather than the Tosefta version. Not exactly sure why Rashi makes that point, because if anything, in the continuation of the Gemara, we bring up Reb Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which is only in the Tosefta version. But nonetheless, Rashi felt it necessary to tell me that we're talking about the Mishnah version. Okay, so what do we see? We see over here that if someone cooks on Shabbos, so the question is the food kosher or is the food non-kosher? So the Mishnah distinguishes between shogeg, if you do it inadvertently, and mezid, and if you do it on purpose. If I do it on purpose, I cannot eat the food, but if I do it inadvertently, I can eat the food. And the Gemara comments, that is true about cooking on Shabbos. But our case of doing shechiyah in the forbidden way, our case of leaving food on the fire in some prohibited manner, our case, lo shna. There is no distinction between shogeg and mezid, no? So if I really cook on Shabbos, there's a distinction between Shaygig and Mesid. But if I don't really cook, I just leave the food on an exposed fire, so then Loshna, there's no distinction between Shogig and Mesid. But the Gemara says, okay, whoa, 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 when you say there's no distinction, that could go in two opposite directions. You could say that there's no distinction that both are permitted. When I leave the food on the exposed fire, so even though I did it in the forbidden way, but the food is going to be post facto permitted because it is lo kovin maisa, perhaps the fact that there's no distinction between shogig and mesid means that by shehiya be'isser, both are permitted because you didn't do anything actively. Alternatively, the Gemara says, the opposite way, that maybe by shehiya, it's more likely to be forbidden because asi li arume, no? People will, I don't know, how do we say this nicely? Asi li arume. They're going to end up cheating. They'll end up saying, you know, I didn't do it, whatever, mistake.
Whole shtick.
Right? People say it's a mistake. What did you say, Nady?
Whole shtick.
Whole shtick, right? That's like a very technical term. But yeah, they'll pull shtick. In other words, that they're going to say, listen, you know, I was an inadvertent, it really was on purpose, et cetera, et cetera. So in order to make sure that people don't pull shtick, very appropriately said. So therefore we say that in both directions, it's forbidden whether chogeg or mazid. So let's just review. We have a question about if I leave food on the open fire on Shabbos and I did it in a forbidden way, is it permitted or is it forbidden? The Gemara doesn't really conclude. The Gemara just has a machlokas. Some say, everyone says, that there's no distinction between shogig and mazid when you leave food. But some say in both cases it's permitted. Some say in both cases it's forbidden. That's the Gemara. Now, what's the case? When I say that I leave food on an exposed fire on Shabbos, what exactly are you doing? So the short answer is, like everything in Judaism, it's a machlokas. Over here, the machlokas is between Rashi and Tosfos. Although, what I tell you Rashi is saying, which I think Rashi says, if you read the Rashi, is different than what the Rashba says Rashi said. Right? So, we have three basic sources to look at quickly, Rashi and Tosfos and the Rashba. So, what does Rashi say? Shachach kadeira, zakt Rashi, aliba manda asar. Meaning, Rashi is saying that our entire Gemara, which asks this question, is not according to Hananya. According to Hananya, who is the permissive view, that Shehiya is okay once the food is higia l'macho ben drusoi, once the food is one-third cooked. So our Gemara is not talking about Hananya. Our Gemara is raising a question according to the strict opinion. Aliba man de asar, not according to Hananya. That's Rashi. No? Tosfos, as the expression goes, right? Jake pointed this out to me a minute ago, jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels, whatever. One time in a shir I was giving, I said this expression, and one of the guys who had been coming to my shir for a while takes something out from his pocket and throws it at me. I'm like, what is it? It's like, it's a wooden nickel. There are some things actually called wooden nickels. So I still have it. I have that wooden nickel that the guy threw at me. But Tosfos says, what are you talking about? How come, right? Tosfos basically says, afagav de kaimolon kechananya, hocha boy bedelo bishel, bedelo basho kemacho ben drusoi, demode bechananya. Says Tosfos, our Gemara's question is, even though we paskin like Hananya, but we are talking about food that is somewhat cooked, but not yet cooked to one third. Right? It's bishel, right? But it's lo bishel kemacho ben drusoi. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos then goes on, and Tosfos has a big chiddush. Tosfos says maybe the case is, even if the food is completely raw, that although the Gemara tells us that kidra chaisa. Although the Gemara says that food which is completely raw, you're allowed to leave on an open fire from before Shabbos, but that might only be in a tanur. That might only be a tanur is like a oven which is in the ground and retains its heat a great deal. Maybe then we permit kidra chaisa. But on a kira, on an exposed range, maybe kidra chaisa is not permitted. So basically, if you were to ask me, or I'll ask you, forget about if you would ask me, I ask you, who do you think has the upper hand? Rashi says our Gemara is going only according to the strict opinion. Our Gemara is not according to Hananya. Tosis says our Gemara is even according to Hananya. Who has the upper hand? Who do you think is more likely to be correct? Anyone?
Rashi.
Rashi. Why Rashi?
Because according to Hananya, this wouldn't be a problem altogether.
Okay.
Right? Because...
Because the food is one third cooked. So therefore, what could go wrong? Yeah, is that what you're saying, Gary?
Yeah. Right?
That according to Hananya, this is not a problem. And that's certainly the way Rashi learns. But Tosfos, however, does some jumping. And Tosfos says, even if you hold like Hananya, it could still be a problem. Because the scenario is that the food is not yet a third cooked. Right? So Tosfos is suggesting that Argamar works even according to Hananya. Mm-hmm. Now...
We know Tosis is a Hananya Jew, and if he doesn't say that this is going to Hananya, it's a Kasha, because it's going to be Tarina and Aliba, the not Hananya.
Can you just say it again, maybe? Like, my hearing isn't great, so I don't think I got exactly what you're saying. Can you just say it again?
He has to say it will go even according to Hananya, because otherwise it's going to be a Kasha, because Shaklina Bitarina and Aliba, the Chachamim. You can't say it's even Hananya.
So what Nady is saying is that what Tosfos says makes a lot more sense, because if our Gemara is not according to Hananya, so then that would be evidence that we do not follow Hananya as a matter of halacha. Right? If I have a major piece of Gemara that only makes sense if you disagree with Hananya, the way Rashi said it. So then this could be evidence that we do not follow Hananya. But here's the thing. I would argue that Rashi doesn't care about that. Let's just take a step back. Rashi says that our Gemara is not according to Hananya. Tosis says our Gemara is according to Hananya. I would explain this dispute as follows. Last time we learned, way back when, I don't know, maybe it was Wednesday last week, but we noted that there's a difference between Rashi's approach to the halacha and Tosis's approach. Rashi says that we follow Hananya just as a matter of practicality. It's not conviction. But Tosfos says that no, as a matter of conviction, we follow Hananya, no? We commented that Tosfos on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis has an expression that we paskin like Hananya, ke Hananya kaimalon. Right? We paskin like Hananya. We saw that Tosfos on here, Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, the top Tosfos. Kaimalon ke Hananya. Tosfos says, as a matter of conviction, we paskin like Hananya. And Artosis also says, Kaimalon Kachananya. We paskin like Hananya. Meaning, according to Tosfos, the halacha endorses Hananya. And therefore, if I have a Gemara that at first glance seems to be against Hananya, I have to reinterpret that Gemara, no? If I have a Gemara that seems to be against Hananya, I have to say, no. We're not talking about food that's cooked a third of the way. Even though it's unusual that you have food that's somewhat cooked, not yet a third of the way. But says Tosfos, I have to say that. Because as a matter of halacha, Tosfos paskins like Hananya. Rashi, however, right, the way we read the Rashi in our youth, We said that Rashi is more aligned with the position of the Rush. That means that Rashi is saying that the Jewish people rely on Hananya. Maybe it's something about the power of Minhag or whatever. But Rashi says, Ad Hananya Samchinon. Meaning, Rashi says, we rely on Hananya. But it doesn't bother me so much if there's a Gemara against Hananya, because ultimately there are many Gemaras against Hananya, but ultimately the halacha follows Hananya just because that's what the Jewish people do. Right? Let me just review. What I have over here is as follows. I have a dispute, Rashi and Tosos. When our Gemara says, if I leave food on the exposed fire before Shabbos, we have a question. Is the food kosher to eat or non-kosher to eat? Right, that's our question. Rashi says that our Gemara only makes sense if you do not hold like Hananya. Tosfos has a convoluted way of saying that the Gemara makes sense even according to Hananya. I would like to maintain that what Rashi is saying is that, you know what? What Tosis is saying, we'll start from Tosis, it's easier that way. What Tosis is saying is, we paskin, the halacha follows Hananya. And therefore, I cannot have any Gemara that goes against Hananya. Because how can you have a Gemara that goes against what the absolute clear halacha is? So therefore, Tosfos says, we're talking about a case that the food is somewhat cooked, but not yet a third cooked. Rashi, however, says, I don't have any matter of conviction that we paskin like Hananya. Rashi says, we rely on Hananya, practically. Ad Hananya samchinon. And therefore, Rashi says, you know what, so this Gemara is against Hananya. Big whoop, who cares? Right? That doesn't change the halacha, because the halacha is more based on what people do, or I could say it, what people do seems to be against what the halacha should be, but nonetheless, I follow what people do. That is Rashi's approach to Judaism. Okay, gentlemen, does this resonate with you? So far, so good. Oh, by the way, I should make one comment before we go on. I sent something to the Shir WhatsApp group that I'd like to meet with people. Some of you responded. One of you who responded and asked about meeting tomorrow at 1, that's great. I'd love to meet with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. Some of you did not yet respond. If you did not respond, I don't know if that's because I'm so intimidating that you don't want to meet with me. I'm like very scary. Trust me, I won't bite. Certainly I can't bite over Zoom, but I just want to get a sense of how the learning is going. So if you could please like send me a private message and we'll set up time where we could just have a brief conversation just to speak one-on-one about how things are going. Okay. That was today's lesson. What, Nady?
Could it be that Rashi thinks that from the Gemara it's a bit of a stalemate and therefore we go based on Minhag? Or he would possibly like the Minhag even if the Mamish goes against Pashtus of the Gemara?
So I'm not sure. The traditional approach that Ashkenazi Rishonim use, you know, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik is like my Rebbe for Jewish history stuff. So Dr. Soloveitchik has an article where he speaks about how in Ashkenaz, traditionally, Jews would actually kill their children rather than allowing the child to convert to Christianity during the Crusades. Now, as a matter of halacha, it's almost completely unjustifiable, no? Maybe you could say to allow yourself to be killed, even that is a dispute. But to actively go and kill your children, which is what was done in Ashkenaz, that's really hard to understand. And Dr. Soloveitchik's theme in that article is that Ashkenaz viewed Minhag like a halachic source. Meaning, even if there would be, this is much stronger than what you were saying, Nady. Dr. Soloveitchik maintains that even if the halacha should be unambiguous, that what you are doing is wrong, But if there's a widespread Jewish practice, I take that widespread Jewish practice like it's another text. And then I have competing sources. One source is Gemara, another source is Minhag, and then, right, then you have to deal with it. In our case, I don't think it's as extreme as that, God forbid. I do think, though, that if the Gemara is a stalemate, certainly, so Minhag can be a deciding vote, but Minhag then would be a deciding vote, not in the sense of, I know for sure this is the halacha, but it's a stalemate and Minhag tips the scales. I'm inclined that that's what Rashi is saying. It's not nearly as extreme as what Dr. Soloveitchik has. However, Tosvos, Paskins like Chananya is a matter of conviction, and therefore Tosvos has to say, you know what? This entire Gemara can be explained according to Chananya as well, because the scenario is that the food is not yet cooked one third of the way. Did I answer your question, Nady? Maybe, maybe not. Okay.
I just mute myself and then I have to go back to my phone and I'm fixing a stroller.
Okay. No problem. So that's the first point I have. The Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos might depend on what we spoke about last week. The
Could we say that Tosos maybe is also inclined, because the word ubishla fits maybe better with Chananya, because it wasn't cooked yet and then you're cooking. If you hold not like Chananya, the word bishla, once it gets to Machlokas and Shlita, the word bishla.
Okay. So Eli Fink is saying, read the Gemara. Right? And I think what you're saying, actually, Ellie, is exactly what the Rashba says. Okay? The lashon, the expression, the language that the Gemara uses is shachach kedera agabe kira ubishla b'shabes. You leave food on the stove, and then bishla, then it gets cooked. Right? Now, I leave food on the stove, and then it gets cooked. That means that the food was not halachically cooked yet. Right? It gets cooked afterwards. Now, what's the story? What's the story? If the case is that the food is already one third of the way cooked, let's say, right, the food is cooked one third of the way, is the food is cooked Maichol Ben Drusai. If I take food that was cooked one third of the way and then I cook it to make it fully cooked, is that halachically considered cooking? Is that considered cooking? We have a rule in halacha called Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. Something that is cooked, you can't cook it, or you can't violate the malacha of Bishal when you cook it again, because the thing was cooked. Great. Well, let's say something is cooked a third of the way. Do I say ein bishol achar bishol in that case? Or do I say no? I only will apply the rule of ein bishol achar bishol when something is fully cooked, in the sense of completely, fully, totally cooked. But if it's only cooked one third of the way, that's not cooked enough to be ein bishol achar bishol. Now, the Rashba writes, the Rashba says over here that Rashi, the Rashba's version of Rashi is the same as Tosfos' version of Rashi. Right? The Rashba writes, Yesh l'faresh, dibishalo higia l'maycho ben drusai. The case has to be that the food has not yet reached macho ben drusai. V'chein pirish Rashi zal. And that's what Rashi said. In other words, the Rashba is saying that Rashi's comment on the Gemara is that the food is not yet one third cooked. Now, what the Rashba says Rashi said is what we have Tosfos saying, not the Rashi. But okay, there are different versions as to what Rashi said. Grand. And the Chaim Pirish Reb Haigon Ulekuli Yama Asya. V'hainu deko amar ubishla b'shabes, dimashma shenisbashla b'shabes, dimi ikora lo nisbashla. V'ilu higia l'maycho ben drusoy, lo nisbashla era ela me erev Shabbos. Right? The Rashba says, Ella, you had seen this Rashba, that's why you made your comment? Thumbs up? Okay.
Yeah, I saw the Rashba, but I think I wasn't thinking the Rashba when I said it, but it could be I was like knew it in the back of my mind.
Okay. That's still good. In other words, if you thought of the same idea that the Rashba thought of, that's pretty good. That's excellent. We'll say it like that. But the Rashba is saying that the language of our Gemara, of Ubishla B'Shabbos, it has to mean that it was not cooked from beforehand. Because if it was cooked beforehand to Michael ben Jusoy, then the food is Nisbashla Me'erev Shabbos. Then the food is cooked on Erev Shabbos. Because once food is cooked Michael ben Jusoy, there is no Bishal Akum, and then I will apply the rule of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. So explains the Rashba. Excuse me for a second. I have to take off my jacket. I'm getting warm. So the Rashba says, you know what? Says the Rashba, Tosis's explanation that the food is not yet a third of the way cooked, which the Rashba calls Rashi's explanation, that has to be correct, says the Rashba. Because the Gemara says it's cooked on Shabbos. If it was a third of the way cooked beforehand, that would be that the food is cooked on Erev Shabbos, because the Rashba understands that the rule of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol applies when food was cooked one third of the way. Once food is somewhat cooked, so the halacha says, okay, it's cooked to the extent that it could be eaten. That is enough to say that you cannot further violate Bishul. Now, the Rashba says that his explanation is, well, the Rashba says that what we call Tosfos is actually Rashi. The Pnei Yehoshua notes that he thinks there is some evidence that the Rashba's version of Rashi is correct, because Tosfos usually likes to make a point that I'm disagreeing with Rashi. No? Isn't that like standard fare for Tosfos? However, if I read the top of our Tosfos, Tosfos just makes a comment, even though we pass in like Hananya, nonetheless, whatever. Tosis does not say, I'm disagreeing with Rashi. So therefore, the Pnei Yehoshua says, maybe Tosis had the Rashba's version of Rashi, which is the same as what Tosis says. Now, I don't understand this Pnei Yehoshua at all, because Tosis always quotes Rashi, whether he's agreeing or disagreeing. So any version of Rashi is either agreeing with Tosis or disagreeing, and then Tosis should make the point. I don't know why the Pnei Yehoshua says, oh, I see the Rashba is correct because Tosis doesn't say it. Right? You could say the opposite way. Mr. Jake, how are you?
I think I know. According to the Rashba, for the case that if it's Michael Ben, sorry, would he say the man that Omar it's not like Hananya would hold that would also have the same allowance going on in this discussion?
If the food is not yet Kemacho
Ben Drusai, it's already past Kemacho Ben Drusai, but according to the man, the Omar, that's not according to the Rabban and the Hananya, would that food be subject to discussion this tomorrow, or is that some different halacha that's not being discussed?
Again, if the food is already Macho Ben Drusai, according to the Rabbanon of Hananya, so what Jake is suggesting, I think, if I'm reading into your question. So let me tell you what I think you're saying. Right? This is like one of the worst things you can do in the conversation, but I'm going to tell you what I think you're saying, which is what the Arsameach suggested that we learned earlier. Right? We learned in Arsameach. There's a dispute. Hananya says you're allowed to leave food in an open fire once the food is one third of the way cooked. The Chachamim say you can only leave food on an uncovered fire if the food is fully cooked. That dispute, says the Ar Sameach, is the question as to one who cooks food that's already one-third cooked, did that person violate the Isser of cooking on Shabbos? Do I apply the rule of Ein Bishel Achar Bishel to food that is already a third cooked? Says the Ar Sameach, the reason why the Chachomim disagree with Chananya is because Chananya is assuming one's food is a third of the way cooked, you can't violate cooking anymore. But the Chachomim say no. In order to violate cooking, the food has to be a third of the food has to be fully cooked. Right? That's what I'm understanding you to be saying.
I wasn't going that direction at all. I'm just going, you know, leave it around the Usher and Rashi.
So you basically, one second, let's go say. So you're saying I'm wrong about what you said. Okay, fine.
What I want to get to is leave it on the Aser and Rashi. Why does it have to be one on the Amar? Why can't it just be each one point what they would Aser? It's already the first time.
Jake is actually using a creative read of Rashi. Jake is saying that when Rashi says Aliba Manda Asar means according to the one who says it's forbidden, which you want to interpret means even according to Chananya, in a scenario that it's forbidden because the food is not yet cooked a third of the way. I'm into just reading the words. Man is an authority, is a person. So Rashi says we are going according to the opinion that says it's forbidden. If you would be correct, right? If your creative reading of Rashi is correct, that Rashi is saying, even according to Chananya, if the food is not yet a third of the way cooked. So then, first of all, the words don't sound that way. The words say, according to man to us, or according to the one who says it's forbidden. Moreover, I think if you'd be correct, so Rashi should not say anything. Right? You don't have to say anything. Of course, the Gemara is going according to both opinions. The fact that Rashi goes out of his way to make a comment at all indicates to me that what Rashi is saying is that our Gemara does not go according to Chananya.
Rashi would rephrase it. Now he would say something like Kishahu Aser or something like
that. Okay.
If you don't see this, that's the Rashba, a different Rashi. If you want Rashba to have our Rashi, I think it's the easiest
way. Okay, in other words, what Jake is trying to do is say maybe the Rashba's read of Rashi can be forced into the words of Rashi that we have in front of us. I hear that. I think Ellie made an interesting point that went unnoticed by some others. I think what Ellie was saying is that the words, how did you say it again, Ellie? You said that like Rashi would have used different words, no?
Right, he would have said something like Kishu Wasser, like the Ofen Shuwasser, I don't know.
Right. Rashi would have said in a scenario. It sounds like Rashi is speaking according to a particular person, not in a scenario. Again, I agree with Ellie. I don't agree with you, Jake. You'll have to
read it. In situations like this, Rashi often spells out the cases that marked the Isle or marked the Isle.
Okay, right. In other words, I'm not enough of an expert. I've been learning Rashi like for my entire life, but I've never learned Rashi like systematically, so I can't comment on how Rashi would have said it. I don't have enough bekiyos in the Rashi, but right, what you're suggesting, Nady, is that if Jake would be correct, so then Rashi would have to say, according to Chananya, the case is that's not yet a third cooked, and according to Chachamim, right? Okay. But whatever the issue is, ladies and gentlemen, whatever the issue is, oh, Ellie, you had a comment that I cut you off? I just saw it.
No, we're good.
Okay. Whatever the issue over here is, the Rashba is making a point that once the food is a third of the way cooked, so the language of the Gemara of Ubishla B'Shabbos can't be applied because the food was cooked from Erev Shabbos. The Rashba says food that is one third of the way cooked is halachically cooked. This is consistent with the Magid Mishnah in Perek Tes of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Gimel, where he talks about this question of Bishul Achar Bishul. Remember, The Rambam writes in Perek Tesav Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Gimel that if one cooks food on Shabbos that was already fully cooked, you do not violate the prohibition of cooking on Shabbos. Right? The Rambam is clear. The only time I say the rule of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal is when the food is fully cooked. The Magid Mishnah comes, and the Magid Mishnah says, yeah, that's what the Rambam holds. But the Rashba disagrees. And the Rashba says, when the food is a third of the way cooked, I will apply the rule of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. Now, gentlemen, we're going to have to analyze this dispute a lot. But just surface level interpretation. Does Ein Bishal Achar Bishal mean that you are not accomplishing anything? It's cooked. You cook it again. You didn't do nothing. Right? So, Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. Is that what it means? Or does Ein Bishal Achar Bishal mean, you know what? You might be accomplishing something, but what you're accomplishing is not halachic Bishal. Right? We're going to have a number of scenarios that we'll talk about. Let's say one person cooks food, and then the next person roasts the same food. Halachically, the food was cooked. But can you say that nothing was accomplished? You accomplished something. You changed the flavor. So that is going to be a machlokas between the Yoreim and the Rav Yah. The question as to how I define Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. Do I say that only when you are absolutely doing nothing, you're not accomplishing anything, only then do I say Ein Bishal Achar Bishal? That would require that the food is fully cooked to apply the rule of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. However, you could suggest otherwise. You could say that Ein Bishal Achar Bishal is a halachic principle that I put in play whenever there was some halachic cooking. The next cooking might accomplish a great deal in a physical sort of way. It adds flavor. Until now it was cooked, now it's roasted. It tastes different. But nonetheless, I'll say Ein Bishal Achar Bishal because there was some halachic cooking that happened beforehand. To use other terms, briskers are into terms, quick ways of explaining the two sides of the question. Is Ein Bishal Achar Bishal based on halachic cooking? Or is it based on cooking in mitzius? Is it based on reality or halacha? Now, I'm not trying to say that reality and halacha are two opposite extremes, but the point that we're trying to get to is we could look at Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, and the Rashba says, once it's a third of the way cooked, that's cooked in halacha. End of conversation. And then I'll say Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. But we could say, whoa, 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 whoa. Maybe cooking it a third of the way is halachic cooking, but the rule of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal is not based on halachic cooking. It's based on, is there an accomplishment in the realm of cooking? Are you doing anything? Okay, so gentlemen, what I am trying
what to... did you accomplish something? Like make it more edible or make it tastier or...
Those are all forms of accomplishment. Again, as the semester progresses, we're going to take this question and analyze it in depth, right? It could be that different types of accomplishment are considered bishul, other types are not considered bishul. There are many ways of slicing it, but bigadol, the question is, what is the rationale behind Ein Bishal Achar Bishal? Now, the way we have Rashi, Rashi is saying that our Gemara is going according to the opinion that our Gemara is going according to the opinion against Hananya, right? Meaning, the food is already 1/3 of the way cooked, but still we have a question, is it forbidden to leave the food on the fire? I would argue that our version of Rashi, remember, right? Our version of Rashi perhaps is consistent with what Rashi writes in the Mishnah. You see, in the Mishnah, we had a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about, do I assume that whatever we're talking about, Shehi or Hachazara, are we talking about Chamin but not Tavshil, or Chamin and Tavshil? Are we talking about only hot water, not cooked solid food? Or are we talking about both Chamin and Tavshil? Rashi writes in the Mishnah, the Chamin, the definition of hot water in the Mishnah is something delo tzrichi levishulei. You see that Rashi in the Mishnah? Turn back to the Mishnah on Lamed Vavam and Beis. Rashi and Beis Shammai Omrim. Rashi Beis Shammai Omrim. Rashi says, Nosna la chamin achasher garfa. You could put hot water after you remove the coals. Delo tzrichi levishulei. The hot water doesn't need to be cooked. It doesn't need to be cooked. That means, presumably, that according to Rashi, the only type of hot water which I can leave on the fire, let's say, for Beis Shammai, is something that is fully cooked water and it does not require any further cooking. Tosfos, however, disagrees. The first three lines of the Tosfos, they are on Lamed Vavam and Beis. Tosus di bamaschal chamin v'tavshel. Tosus writes nirelari, distam chamin v'tavshel hainu afilu lo bishel kol tzarko ela kamaychol ben drusai. Tosus says that the type of hot water which our Mishnah mentions is even hot water which is not yet fully cooked. It is maychol ben drusai. It is cooked enough that a robber would drink it, but it's not yet fully cooked. So here's the thing. Rashi makes a point of saying that the only hot water I'm allowed to put back on the fire is hot water which is fully cooked. If the water would be 1/3 of the way cooked, by the way, how I define 1/3 of the way cooked by hot water is an interesting question. By solid food, I know what it means. It means that it's cooked to the extent that you could eat it. With water, you could drink it, whether it's cold water or hot water. That's a hard question to figure out what it means that water is cooked maichu ben drusai. But let's just assume that the category exists out there. Rashi makes a point. And Rashi says, if the water is fully cooked, then Beis Shammai says you could return it to the stove on Shabbos. Water that is cooked, kemaychol ben drusai, Rashi would say you could definitely not return that water to the stove on Shabbos. Because if I return that water to the stove on Shabbos when it's maychol ben drusai, I would be cooking that water on Shabbos. Returning means I had a pot, it was on the fire. I take it off, I put it back. If the food was 1/3 of the way cooked, and now I put it back on the fire, you know what you just did? You violated cooking, says Rashi. I only allow you to return the food to the fire if the food was, or not food, I only allow you to return the water to the fire, says Rashi, if the water was fully cooked before Shabbos. Because if the water was not fully cooked, right? If the water is not fully cooked, then I can't return that water to the fire because by returning it to the fire, I would be cooking. So Rashi says that the water has to be fully cooked, right? I'm just reading a Rashi on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Tosfos, however, on Lamed Vav Amud Beis says that the definition of chamin throughout Shas, the word hot water means even if it's a third of the way cooked, even if it's Michael Ben Trusoy. No, 1 second. If the water is only a third of the way cooked, how can you put it back on the fire? Well, Tosis is going to say, Ein bishol achar bishol, because the water was a third of the way cooked. So you could put it back. You're not cooking anymore. It was a third of the way cooked. Rashi, however, would say that what? Rashi would say that if the water is a third of the way cooked, to go from a third of the way cooked to all the way cooked is cooking, according to Rashi. But Tosvos is consistent with his view on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, that to go from a third of the way cooking to all the way cooking is not cooking. Ein bishol achar bishol applies, because it cooked a third of the way. Tosvos on Lamed Chesam and Aleph agrees with the Rashba on Lamed Chesam and Aleph, and is consistent with Tosvos on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Rashi is consistent with Rashi on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Again, this is my approach. Mr. Nady.
Isn't there another day in Tosis that says that needs to be Rosachas to do Chazara?
Yes. Tosis there on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. What Nady is saying is that isn't there another opinion in that Tosis on Lamed Vav Amud Beis that we only allow you to return the hot water to the fire when it's absolutely bubbling and boiling and mala resicha? Yes, there is another opinion on Tosis. I agree. But there is also an opinion in Tosfos that you're allowed to return hot water when it's a third of the way cooked. That opinion that you're allowed to return hot water when it's a third of the way cooked is in agreement with that Rashba that the Magen Mishnah quotes on in Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, the Rashba on Lamed Ches Amin Aleph, who says that the Halacha defines cooking as Michael Ben Drusai. Once it's a third of the way cooked, we will apply the rule of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. Right, so I like these types of things. Now, Jake asked a question before Shir began. He asked me, how do I know? This is just to paraphrase Jake. He asked me, how do I know when what you're saying is true as a matter of halacha? And how do I know then when what you think you're saying is only interesting but not true? How do you know when it's MS? How do you know it's Yafeh? Right, that was your question. Right? So I could quote the Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart, but I'm not going to. Potter Stewart said basically that you know it when you see it, right? That, but I would argue that sometimes I myself am not sure, but when something really works out well, when like all of the pieces fit in, when Rashi is the same as, when Rashi on Lamed Vav is the same as Rashi on Lamed Ches, and Tosfos is the same, when you have the consistency, the Lashitaso, so that is pretty good evidence that it's MS, not just Yafeh. It's pretty good evidence that it's true, because it works, right? The Rashi on Lamed Vav, the Rashi on Lamed Ches is saying the same thing, so that actually works. Good? So yes, I think this is true. I don't think this is only nice, but
I'm just a little confused. When did Ein Bishol Achar Bishol become the subject of the debate about Hachazara?
Okay.
Jake asked
a question. Let me just, your question is, when did Ein Bishol Achar Bishol become the topic of conversation by Hachazara, by returning? So I'll answer. I don't know if Ein Bishol Achar Bishol is the topic of conversation by Hachazara, but I do know that I can only allow you to return the pot to the fire if you're not going to be in violation of the Isser of cooking on Shabbos. Chazal would never, ever permit returning a pot to the fire if you'd actually be cooking. Therefore, right, it has to be that the... Okay, yeah, so the Bahamar, right? Jake is pointing out that the Bahamar says that you could have food which is a third of the way cooked, and there's mitzdamik v'yafalo, mitzdamik v'ralo. The Bahamar is like a different take on Judaism. let me say it like this. It's very hard to explain any opinion that would allow me to return food to the fire on Shabbos if the food is still subject to the issur of cooking. There's no opinion that, again, there is no conceivable opinion. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but it just means it takes a tremendous amount of imagination, right? It would seem to be inconceivable. How can you return food to the fire when you're in violation of cooking by doing so? So therefore, the opinions that say you can return food to the fire on Shabbos when it is macho ben shusoy has to be in agreement with those opinions that once food is cooked a third of the way, ein bishal achar bishal. The Rashba also, 1 second 80, the Rashba also seems to be going in the direction that this larger question as to when I apply the rule of bishol achar bishol is very relevant for the Isurim derabbanon of Shehi and Hachazara, which is close to that Aris HaMeach. Right? The Rashba is the beginning of that conversation that we are blurring the lines between bishol achar bishol, right, and the dinim derabbanon of leaving the food on an open fire or not, that the trigger to this entire conversation might be that issue. Mr. Elkayim, how are you?
I think my point is not good, but it sounds like there's sort of like a two-tiered approach of there are things which are mutter al tzachzara and things which are usher, and things which are usher are usher deraisa. Like, I would have thought there's, you know, three tiers. There's things which are mutter, usher derabanan, usher deraisa.
So I agree with you. Now, this Nadi is saying that there are three categories within the prohibition of returning food to the fire on Shabbos. There's returning food to the fire on Shabbos, that's a Torah prohibition. Sometimes it's a rabbinic prohibition, sometimes it's permitted. Right? Agreed. But no one, it seems to me, that it's impossible to entertain that anyone would allow you to return food to the fire on Shabbos if you'd be in violation of a Torah prohibition. Right? So therefore, the only time I could even begin talking about returning food to the open fire is when you're not actually cooking. And how do I get to the point I'm not actually cooking? Either a third of the way, that's Tosos and Lamed Vav Amid Beis, or all the way cooking, which would be Rashi on Lamed Vav Amid Beis.
Or you could say, I mean, Rashi could theoretically also have to say, a third of the way cooking, and just in between, third of the way and fully cooked, is Asa D'Avana.
Okay, so now Nadi is proposing an interesting idea, which I think we might have. Let me just tell everyone. Someone pointed out to me that when some guys are live and some guys are on Zoom, it's very hard for the people on Zoom to follow because the live person's question doesn't end up, right? That the Zoomers can't hear the live person's question. Is that accurate? So let me just rephrase what Nadi just said for the Zoomers among us. What Nadi just said is maybe once food is a third of the way cooked, there is no Torah prohibition in cooking that food further. But there is still a rabbinic prohibition of cooking that food further. And perhaps that rabbinic prohibition would be relaxed in scenarios where you didn't yet put the pot down, etc. Right?
Or it's not even doesn't reply once it's reversed.
Right. In other words, that one could argue that you do not have to have food completely cooked in order to enable you to return it to the fire. Because once the food is a third of the way cooked, so according to Torah law, you're not in violation if you return it to the fire. Yes, rabbinically, you would be in violation, but the rabbis kind of ignore that rabbinic violation so long as you're holding the pot and you have in mind, etc., all the rules that we said beforehand. So I would tell you That suggestion is really good. I'll say it like this. Maybe we'll have to discuss it at greater length tomorrow, or maybe we won't. I'm not sure if it might be a little too abstruse, but maybe if Reb Aaron Cutler, the Rosh Hashiva in Lakewood, Reb Aaron Cutler, when he used to have students who would stump him with a question, would tell his students, you know what, I don't know the answer to the question. Go to Baltimore. And there's a Jew in Baltimore named Reb Michal Forschlager. And Reb Michal Forschlager can answer your question. Reb Aaron Cutler used to say that Reb Michal Forschlager, who probably none of you heard of, I know my father heard of Reb Michal Forschlager. Reb Michal Forschlager was, according to Reb Aaron Cutler's standards, the greatest gadol ever to walk on American soil. Right. The man was a super genius. He was a Talmud. He was the student of Avni Nazer. So this morning in my office, I pulled off of my shelf the Torah Michael, the Michal Forschlager's Sefer on everything. It's actually not his only Sefer. It's the only one that's been published. He wrote 80 volumes. And when he died, they shipped them over to Israel, and there is an institute that should be publishing his work, but it comes out very slowly, like one volume every 50 years, something to that extent. The man was a Goyn Olam. He has an essay about Ein Bishul Afar Bishul, where he makes a suggestion along your lines. He says that if the food is one third of the way cooked, it's possible that there is no prohibition of further cooking it, but there would be a prohibition if you go from a third of the way cooking to become all the way cooking. Meaning, right, between a third and fully cooked, you have two thirds, right? Advanced mathematics. Let's say I cook it from one third of the way cooking, it cooked, now it's 7/8 cooked. So in Michal Forschlager, there's zero prohibition in that case. The only time there'd be a prohibition is if you go from a third to all the way, and then he makes some suggestions along the lines of what you were saying. The man is a super genius, but again, you're raising a really good point, which is along the lines of what he said. Look, Google him. Google Michal Forschlager. The man was tremendous, an unbelievable talent. Yeah. Any comments? So he is saying it according to everybody. But Michal Forschlager, assumes that there's no machlokes. This is Yafe, not Emes. Okay? But Michal Forschlager says as follows. There is no dispute. Everybody holds, once food is a third of the way cooked, you're allowed to cook the food further. And everybody holds that the only time it is 100% permitted to cook the food further is when the food is all the way cooked, right? When food is a third of the way cooked, it's possible you only violate the prohibition if you go all the way to become all the way cooked. And logically, by the way, this is very similar to what we were mentioning beforehand. Just to put it into conceptual terms for like 30 seconds, cooking can mean two things. Cooking can mean halachically, what you did is the bare minimum standard of cooking. That's a third of the way. But cooking can also mean now it cannot be improved further. If I cook something a third of the way, so I did halachic cooking. So now I go to 7/8. You haven't changed anything because the food was halachically cooked beforehand. Now it's halachically cooked. Oh, then if I go to all the way cooked, but perhaps that is a real change because that is changing the substance in a physical sort of way rather than just in a halachic way. Again, whether this is correct or not, I don't have a strong opinion. I haven't thought about it enough, but I do think that it's a creative and interesting idea. Okay, gentlemen, let's go and daven mincha. Wish everybody a good day, and I'm happy to take questions on WhatsApp, etc. Everyone should PM me about when you want to talk.
Is there shiur tomorrow?
Oh, yes. That's a very good question. Can I decide tomorrow whether we have shiur tomorrow?
You're the boss.
I hope to give shiur tomorrow, but let me get back to you later tonight or tomorrow. I'll send something to the WhatsApp. Yeah.
Thank you.